Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your Sports Bros. I'm Rop.
Isaac, that's my first name. Last name is Rop. Jason Sakanik, Big Soup, they call him.
Right here.
Suh.
Does anyone know why all the Major League Baseball teams are wearing camouflage hats?
No, but I can Google it for you.
Is there a military thing that I'm missing? Is there a day happening here? What's going down?
I don't know.
Because they look horrid. Like, they're... It's just odd.
The Yankees... Certain teams should not be wearing any hat other than their classic hat.
No, you know, you could have Googled it, Jason.
Well, what did it say?
Because I have Googled it, and I have the answer for you.
Okay. I didn't really care enough to Google it, but I just wanted to ask the question in hopes that someone had already Googled it.
Well, you cared enough to ask it on the air.
That is true.
Yeah, you don't have much respect for airtime around here.
Yeah, sorry.
You'll ask anything on the air.
Yeah, pretty much. It is radio. I mean.
That's right.
You got 4 hours to fill.
You got 4 hours to
right.
kill.
Damn, and who knows where it leads, you know?
I'm asking questions. You
Here's
can't
the answer.
Handle the truth.
The answer is.
This is against my civil rights.
Major League Baseball is celebrating Armed Forces Day and Armed Forces Weekend.
Well, how come in the news then you didn't make us aware that it was Armed Forces Day?
It wasn't on my list. I don't think today is Armed Forces Day.
So basically,
Day.
You hate America. You hate the military, you commie
Thanks,
bastard.
Isaac and Newt, Zook.
I'll tell you what, if I had been doing in the news.
Isaac, you got to move your mouse because I'm not playing those drops.
Oh. Well, I'm not. It's way over there.
I know, but it's automatically clicking. So
what
can
is
you
happening?
Move it?
All hell is
that
breaking
computer
loose.
Is a piece of crap.
That computer knows that you hate America.
My God.
That's what.
Sports.
An Odyssey station.
Armed Forces Day is tomorrow, bitch.
Oh, then why are they wearing it today?
To celebrate Armed Forces Weekend,
the weekend
you bitch.
You stupid effing C.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
You went to a see you next Tuesday. Hey-o.
Oh, my God.
They say that a lot in Deadwood.
Oh, yeah.
They say that a lot in England.
Yeah. If you go over there, you just, it's like a term of endearment. And quite frankly, when I was in Scotland, I thought it was wonderful. And I think we should use it more often over here. But everyone gets all bent out of shape.
I don't.
You shouldn't.
Doesn't bother me.
It's a wonderful term.
It's the women that have a problem with it.
Yeah. I think
it's the taboo word for women.
And I don't get
Although
it.
Although I've said it around my wife and she thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't call her that.
I would hope not.
Right.
Do men have a taboo word?
What?
That men hate?
Yeah. Like if someone called, you know, that's the Queen Mary. Everyone always gives the F word, and it's clearly not. The C word is way, way worse. And I don't know if like men, like if you get called something, if we have the equivalent of that.
Yeah, I think it would have to be more personal.
Yeah.
you know, for men.
You got to find what it is that person's insecure about.
Exactly. And then you've hit home.
Yeah, because men love to pretend that they're not insecure, but I can assure you men are as insecure, if not more insecure than women.
There's a way
It's whether you're bald, you're tall, you're short, you're fat, man, but whatever it is, some dude's got something that's really going to grind his gears.
Okay, well, Joey Harrington's going to join us 5:30, a little football talk. We'll talk to him about the Pac-12, maybe keeping up with the Joneses a little bit there. And coming up tonight in the club, no wonder India is having such a COVID problem. And the ranking of animals Americans think they can beat in a fight.
Yeah, I'm guilty of this.
Also, we're not going to have time for it. I almost can guarantee that because I know us. Mm-hmm. However, have you read Larry Flint's FBI file?
Yes.
That
I saw that right as we were going off the air yesterday.
It's going to be a club.
It was amazing.
It's truly bananas. The FBI has kept a file on Larry Flint. Most of it's from the 80s, back when he was at his surliest.
Well, he's dead now.
Well, I know, but he's been around causing problems for a long time until he died. But it's mostly from the 80s, and it is bananas.
Yes.
The FBI had on that guy.
I need more FBI... I need more FBI files released.
But I can't promise it for tonight.
See what happens.
We'll see what happens. All right, right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Number five.
Phil Mickelson will get another crack at the one major that eludes him. Of course, the man has five major championships, but he's never won the U.S. Open. He's finished runner-up there six times.
And he is not going to win the U.S. Open this year, despite the exemption.
The thought was that he'd have to qualify this year. He's 50 years old, but he's ranked 116th in the world. You have to be in the top 60.
Yeah.
But the USGA today extended him a special exemption. He accepted it. He is going to play at Torrey Pines. Of course, that's his hometown, San Diego. And he will play in the tournament.
And he will not win.
And I will be there watching him, if he makes the cut, of course.
Yeah, what day is that?
Sunday. Oh, wait, what? What dates?
June
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, somewhere in there.
Somewhere, yeah, okay.
That weekend.
That's cool. You get to see Phil. He probably won't make the cut, but
well, yeah. I'm only going on Sunday, so he may not.
Yeah,
he may not be.
May
there.
Not be.
But look for me on TV.
See what I can do.
I wonder if we're gonna have to wear masks.
Number four.
Outdoors.
You know?
I bet you don't.
Probably not.
No.
Because you have to prove vaccination to go.
Yeah, I bet you won't. By the way, how old do you have to be on the Champions Tour?
50.
All right. So. Phil coming to a Champions Tour near you?
Well, he's already played in, I think.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he's played in a couple. He won.
Okay.
He at this point, he's too good to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
He'd go kick their ass every week, but he's still, you know, making the rounds on the PGA Tour. Broncos coach Vic Fangio says his quarterback competition is a dead heat. 50-50 between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke.
That's a vicious cockfight if you're a Bronco fan. If I'm a Denver fan, I'm rooting for Drew Locke to win that job. Because you know what Teddy Bridgewater is, and it ain't going anywhere. At least with Drew Locke, you hope that he pulls his head out and can realize kind of the physical gifts and potential. So
I agree.
I'd be rooting for Locke.
Yeah.
I'd be rooting for the Aaron Rodgers trade. But
well, of course. If Aaron Rodgers is number one, but if it has to be one of the two of them, make it Drew Locke.
Yeah.
Packers coach Matt LaFleur reiterated today they want Aaron Rodgers back in the worst way, and they are trying to make it happen. Because he wants no part of Blake Bortles.
Then why did you pee in his Cheerios? It makes no sense to me. You did this.
By the way, I just emailed our engineer I texted our engineer about our computer issues over here.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm in Vegas. Find another engineer.
it's because the whole system has been down the entire day. Something's going on.
I just love
it. Oh,
you know
great.
What? I don't care.
He's like, I don't care.
What do you want from me?
An Odyssey station.
I'm at the pool.
Oregon State football gets a nice defensive line transfer. Keontae Shad is transferring in from Minnesota, where he was rowing the boat.
I was going to say, he'll be rowing the boat in Corvallis.
He'll have one more year of eligibility. He was academic All Big Ten last season. He projects to take the place of Big Jordan Whitley, who is he's been hurt. He's finally transferring out of Oregon State.
Well, this is a nice little pickup there for Oregon State. You know, I know they're kind of.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I mean
they say it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I can go for. I don't know anything about him other than he was indeed rowing the boat, and he's a smart kid. So there you go.
Number two. Not a great major league debut for the young hotshot Mariners. Jared Kelnick 0-for-4. Logan Gilbert gave up 4 runs in 4 innings.
I will tell you, though, Gilbert's got good stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
he looked good.
Look, a couple of those homers are, I mean,
he made a couple mistakes, did, but.
And those are good hitters.
He
let's
looked
not,
good.
Let's not act like he was getting taken deep by a bunch of palookas.
No, but the Indians aren't a very good
it's
offense.
It's the Indians. They're one of the worst offenses in baseball.
But those two guys are not.
They're not slouches.
They are not slouches.
He actually did pretty well.
Yeah, he's got, you can see that he's got some stuff.
Yeah, he's legit. Onward and upward, the Mariners did not get no hit. As predicted here, they got all the way to the eighth, but J.P. Crawford broke it up.
I'm not going to lie. I understand that it would have been heartbreaking, but how funny would it have been for John for his first game in like 2 years to go up there in this big day for the Mariners and then get no hit?
Well, but I think by the eighth inning, because the guy did take a no-hitter into the eighth. I think John's rooting for the no-hitter because Kelnick had already been 0-for-4. Yeah. Logan's long gone.
As opposed
at least
to,
you saw a no-no.
He tweeted, he said he was kind of hoping for it. Wouldn't it be funny, the team that's already been no-hit twice to no-hit the Mariners for the second time?
That would be funny. I would laugh. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Patrick Beverley are among those out for the Clippers tonight in Houston. Nuggets are in Detroit. LA leads Denver by 1 game for the 3 seed, but the Nuggets hold the tiebreaker. So it's an interesting move by LA resting guys tonight. The Mavericks host Toronto. They are in full tank mode, are the Raptors. So a Dallas win gives them a leg up for the 5 seed over Portland. As it stands now, Blazers have 1 game left Sunday at Denver. If the Lakers win out, and they have 2 easy ones at Indiana and New Orleans, Portland would have to win that game on Sunday to avoid the play-in tournament.
Yes, and despite everyone seeming to think that the play-in may be better because you would avoid the Clippers, you don't want anything to do with the play-in. You don't want to get into this situation where you lose a game and then all of a sudden it's one or, you know, win or go home. I don't buy that at all. Do everything you can to beat Denver, and we'll be interesting to see if Denver puts up a fight or if Denver rests guys. Because I think for those teams above you, I mean, seeding's one thing, but I think everyone just wants to be healthy and rested going in.
Yeah, be interesting. The game is not till 6 o'clock Sunday night. Nets' big three of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden are expected to play together tomorrow night for just the 8th time this season.
Yeah, and they've got a back-to-back to finish. So if they beat Chicago, it would lock up the 2 seed. And then who knows if they sit out that final one or if they try to get some sort of continuity.
The Hot 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back. Always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. How much for a ticket to see Tom Brady return to Gillette Stadium?
Ooh, a lot.
That's next on The Fan.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge? A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you by Battery Exchange.
That's my favorite moment of the season so far. Just excessive passion, competitiveness, and anger.
Spo. That's anger. Spolstra. He's talking about Udonis Haslam.
I do love the fact that first game of the year, 2 minutes, 2 buckets, 1 rebound, 2 technicals, and an ejection. That's an OG right there that just didn't give an F, nor did he want to play.
I can't believe he's still in the league.
Yeah, going to be 41 next month.
Battery Exchange has over 14 area locations to serve you. Free electrical system checks for your vehicle. Battery Exchange with an X.com. Hello? Is this thing on? Hello? Hello?
Prime what? Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah!
What's up?
Hey.
Joey Harrington's coming up next. I'm just looking at the NBA
scoreboard?
Yeah, well, the game's all just kind of tipped off, so nothing major is happening yet. But it is going to be a fun night to scoreboard watch because things will become much clearer after tonight, particularly with that 3-4 because the Clippers and Nuggets are playing. Mm-hmm.
Even though the Clippers, I think, arrested a bunch of people.
They are, but they're playing Houston, so they still could win that.
Yeah,
I don't know what to think of that.
Because Houston doesn't want to win, although, to be fair, Houston has locked up the worst record, so they've got the best ping pong balls no matter what.
Right. So I don't know what to think of that game. But
and the Sixers can lock up the 1 seed if they win tonight.
the Sixers can lock up what?
The one seed. Oh, if they beat the Magic tonight, they're in the one. If they were to lose out and Brooklyn were to win out, they'd be the one.
You know what has occurred? Although they've both won four in a row, but you were talking about people somehow thinking that the play-in tournament is better for the Blazers.
I have heard that from some Blazer people and some Laker people now that it's being kicked around that they would be better off going into the play-in and taking your chances with Phoenix than getting the Clippers in the first round.
Yeah, but the Warriors are now the eight. Did you see that?
The Warriors are now the eight seed.
Yeah, so
which means if you were the seven, you had to play the Warriors.
You had to play the Warriors in the first. Yeah,
and they're harder to beat than the Grizzlies. Although the Grizzlies kind of punked the Blazers last couple times they played.
Well, no, the last time they played, the Blazers hammered them. But before
the two games before that, Memphis beat them.
Yeah,
you're right. So I mean, do you want the Warriors?
I don't. You don't want the play-in.
No, you want to avoid the play-in.
You just
want
to avoid the play-in.
So you'd rather just get your ass kicked by the Clippers.
Exactly, because at least you're in and you get seven games. You get into that, and I understand that you have two to win one. But funky things happen, especially now to your point that Golden State's the eight. What if Steph Curry just goes badass crazy?
That's why I don't want any part of them.
And knocks down 52 and, you know, Draymond is old Draymond and, you know, they end up knocking you off on a fluky game. Now, all of a sudden, you've put yourself in a do-or-die situation. Now, it's going to be a Memphis and San Antonio. You should beat both of those teams. But do you want your season coming down to one game? As I don't. I'd much rather just give me the damn playoffs and take your chances and see what happens. Yes, playoffs? I know the Clippers are a bad matchup, but...
Hundo P.
This idea of... And Lillard bashed this, too, and so did Chris Paul. This idea of ducking someone... to try to finesse your way into the second round. Get out of here with that coward crap.
Playoffs?
You get into the playoffs and you roll the ball out, and I promise you, Damian Lillard doesn't give two S's who he plays in the first round.
I think he does, though. Deep down, he doesn't want to play the Clippers. But you're right. I mean, they'll lace him up against anybody. They, yeah. You know, they'll be as confident as ever because they're playing well, but they don't want any part of the Clippers.
I don't think
they don't match up well with the Clippers.
I don't think a lot of people want. I don't think the Lakers want the Clippers, but I don't think that some people are saying that the Lakers are resting people and going into the playoff or going to the playing game so they can get Phoenix as opposed to the Clippers or Utah, I guess.
Well, the Lakers can still work their way out of the play-in tournament because they could win their last two, and then the Blazers would have to beat Denver to avoid it.
Yeah.
That's the hard part here. The only thing is we don't know what Denver's going to be bringing to the table on Sunday.
Nope, you don't. Do they rest people? Or are they going? Who knows? What happens with the Clippers tonight? If the Clippers lose, then I think that game becomes more interesting.
So if Denver wins tonight and the Clippers lose, they flip-flop.
Yeah.
Denver becomes the three and the Clippers become the four.
The four. And I don't know who owns the tiebreaker in any of that.
Denver.
Denver does?
Yep, Denver beat him two out of three.
Yeah, well, there you go.
There you go.
There is nothing is set at this point, right? Everything's kind of up in the air with seeding, but it's about to become clear because there's only two games left or one in some cases.
I'd like to see the Warriors get in. I think that'd be fun.
I think the Warriors are the more interesting team, but Memphis is kind of fun. I enjoyed watching Memphis the couple times that they played against Portland. I'm fine either way. You know who I don't give to? You know what? It's the Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
Go away.
I don't think anybody thinks they're going to
anything. I don't even think they want to be there. And there are four games. This is the biggest problem I have with the play-in is we've got the 32-38 Wizards, who actually are playing halfway decent right now. But you got the Wizards and the 33-37 Pacers and then the freaking Spurs. Really?
Like, who cares?
Yeah. Go away.
But the 6-7-8 seeds could be Blazers, Lakers, Warriors.
And
that's interesting
that the West is a grind. If you're Utah, Phoenix, or the Clippers, and you're looking back at that, there's not an and you're going to be underdogs in those,
imagine,
but the Lakers,
I know
if you're Utah or Phoenix and your reward for winning 50 games is the Lakers in the first round.
That is so brutal. All right. I guess we're done here.
Yeah. All I heard was a chair squeaking a lot.
That was Suk farting.
Or just shifting my chair.
He's a farter.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, should be fun.
Yes.
I don't like the play-in tournament. I think it's stupid.
But the end of the year is.
But the end of the season, jockeying for position here.
Yeah.
I see, here's what I think. The play-in tournament doesn't add any excitement to the end of this season. I think these teams be jockeying anyway, right? Yeah. Dallas and Portland have pretty much, they're a half game apart. Denver and LA have no chance of the play-in tournament. They're one game apart. The Lakers are a half game back of the Blazers, right? So, and then the Warriors and Grizzlies,
they're tied.
So they would be fighting it out for the eight. So the play-in tournament means nothing. They're still going to be jockeying for playoff positioning without that dumb thing.
Except if your team's not in it, it's going to be like the wild card game in baseball. It's exciting as hell to watch a one game, quote unquote, playoff.
It was when the Blazers played the Grizzlies last year. I'll give you that.
So watching, especially watching it, let's just say it stays the same and the Blazers win. Lakers Warriors?
Yeah, Lakers
in a one game to see who's the seven?
Yeah. I think the Lakers win that by 37.
And then whoever loses has to play for their playoff lives against probably the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Yeah. If the Lakers get healthy, it doesn't matter. If the Lakers get healthy.
I mean, they are. Schroeder's back.
He's back.
But Davis is fine. LeBron's just kind of, he's coasting, but
he's back questionable.
He's questionable. Back in there the other night, though.
And Anthony Davis is hurt every other day. We played the one game, and there was a setback. So, and then he's been out.
Oh, he played that game? I thought the setback was before the game.
No, I think he played in the game. I don't know how much he played, but I'm pretty sure he went in that.
Look, he's dogging it. We know he's going to lace him up for the playoffs.
I think if these were playoff games, I do think he would be playing, yes. Which Come is on, why fella. I said if you're the Lakers, all they care about is getting healthy.
These guys know what they're doing. And the Nets, by the way, have been slow playing us all year. And now nobody's going to have any scouting report on them.
Nope.
Because they purposefully didn't play their big three all season.
And they're still the two seed.
Yes.
You know.
Dude, they're going to be in the finals. The Nets are in the finals out of the East.
I kind of feel that is the case, yes.
Milwaukee
gave him fits. Come
on. Get out of here with that.
They don't have anyone that can guard Giannis.
Yeah, but who does Milwaukee have that can guard Durant, Harden, and Irving? Yeah.
No one has anyone that can guard them. But
well, there you go. That's why they're in the finals. All right, we got to move on because Joey Harrington will be coming up next. It is story time with Joey every Friday at 5:30, and we'll talk to him about how the Pac-12 closes the gap against the big boy SEC and Big Ten conferences. That will be next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter. Friday's story time with Joseph J. Harrington. J. Joseph Harrington. God, I can never... I'm an idiot.
Yes, you are.
How are you?
It's good. It's the whole Joey thing, right? Because you think that's got to be Joseph first, but it's not.
It's not.
It's not. Just had to be different.
Yeah, so how do you feel about this new Pac-12 commissioner? You like this guy? You know this guy?
I don't know. Tell me about him.
That's what everybody said.
At least that's an honest answer. I love how no one had ever heard of him, but within the span of like 30 seconds, people were like, oh, I love it.
I love it.
People heard Vegas and gambling, and they're like, this is exactly what we need.
Smart.
Yeah. I will say that I was really skeptical of the Pac-12 basketball tournament going to Vegas at first, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we were using that as our only point of reference, then yeah, I think it's great.
what are the biggest obstacles this guy is going to have to overcome? Like, how do you feel like...
Relevance?
Yeah. So we've talked about that before. That you don't think, you just think it is what it is out west. You know, it will never have the passion of the South. So how do you then close the financial gap?
Well, so here's the thing. I think we'll never have the passion of the South. But we do have two marquee programs. We have Oregon and we have USC. And the conference is at its best when those two teams, football speaking, are at the top. And SC has kind of been at a, you know, let's call it an up and down at best. And Oregon has done well. But it's more than simply doing well. Both of those teams, and not just one of them, both of those teams have to be in the playoff discussion for the conference to be relevant. And that's just the reality of it. Because if they're not, then the whole country forgets about us, right? And those two programs will drive the visibility for the rest of the conference. And it's kind of one of those, I don't want to say nobody cares about Washington State, but nobody really cares about Washington State, right?
Well, it doesn't matter. Do you remember?
It doesn't matter what time. My point was, it doesn't matter what time they put them on, like all the Friday night championship games, or when Larry Scott was trying to, you know, put them at times where they'd have their own. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If Oregon and USC are not driving the rest of the country's eyeballs to the conference, they're going to be irrelevant.
I could not agree more. Yep. I think that's exactly it. Now, so you remember when the Big 12 was like TCU and Baylor, you know, and then Texas right. and Oklahoma were bad, even though, I mean, you should take nothing away from TCU and Baylor being at the top of the Big 12. Being an outsider looking at the Big 12, I'm like, oh, that conference sucks, because it wasn't yep. their blue bloods. It wasn't their big boys. TCU and Baylor, come on. So it's the same type of thing.
That was the year when I was working for Longhorn Network, and then starting to call games for Fox Sports, and I was down. We were the Baylor the Baylor home broadcast network. It seemed like, I mean, I'd call like three or four Baylor games a year, and you're right. Even though they were at the top of the conference, and you know, coming off of Robert Griffin Jr. and Bryce Petty, and putting up numbers like crazy, and frankly, they were kind of they were Oregon after Oregon was Oregon in terms of like explosive offense. And even though they were doing that, you know, they're still putting 40 some thousand in the stadium, and you know, they're not driving the eyeballs like a Texas would. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, if Texas and Oklahoma are not good, then the Big 12 is going to be thought of as a subpar conference. If Oregon and USC are not good, and let's not even say good, they have to be elite, the Pac-12 is going to be thought of as an irrelevant conference.
Well, look, at Washington State has had moments. They had three 10-win seasons in a row. They went to a couple Rose Bowls, but, you know, they didn't win those. The Michigan game, they were right there. But, you know, for Washington State, Oregon State, for a number of years, you could make a solid argument along with Oregon, we're the second-best team. But you're right in that there's staying power problems with schools like that. This is why, like in the ACC sucks, but they've got Clemson. If that was North Carolina State doing that, it's a different reputation. Clemson's saving grace. They're the saving grace of the ACC.
But see, I would argue that when Clemson started to be good, they had the same issue. And it wasn't until they were repeatedly in the championship discussion yes. every single year
yep.
that people started to realize that is a great. I mean, it took them 2, 3, 4 years to get that type of reputation.
Beating Alabama. Honestly, that was the one. When they beat right. Alabama in that national title game, that was like, oh, crap. Here's Clemson. But you're right. It's so much of college football is just our perception. I mean, it goes back to the reason why we have preseason polls and we still think a lot of Michigan and, you know, Iowa State this year is when the polls come out, Iowa State's going to be 10 or 11. If Iowa State had you stripped away that helmet and you just said, this is the record of the team, this is who they beat last year, this is who they have coming back, Iowa State would be the second or third best team in the country. But watch, they'll be 10 or 11 because they're Iowa State. And we don't believe, we can't comprehend that Iowa State should be a top three team preseason.
I could not agree with you more. Now, if Iowa State goes out and does that year after year after year and beats Alabama in the championship game, then I think we'd see something different. But until that happens, they're still going to be Iowa State.
Do you think I was reading some recently that was saying it was they were pontificating on who could maybe be the next Clemson in college football, and Oregon was near the top of the list. And at first I looked at that and went, I don't know geographically, be as good as Clemson. That's just my question. Do you think Oregon?
I completely agree. And here's why.
You think they can be the next Clemson?
Yes, because of the rest of the conference, right? With an average USC, with you know, Washington, you know, and we're talking historically, right? Washington is down. Oregon State, you know, from early 2000s, mid 2000s is completely down. That they don't have the week in, week out tests like a Big Ten or an SEC, which is exactly why Clemson plays two or three big games a year. Right? They play their game against Miami. They play their game against, South Carolina. There's another game that usually, I think maybe they played Notre Dame. You know, they have two or three games a year, and then the rest of the time they play NC State, and they kind of just work their way through the conference. And that's, you know, it's interesting because they're in a very similar position to Oregon, but the difference is they've finished the deal, and Oregon hasn't.
I mean, there is something to be said for that. I mean, we all think Oregon out here is a good team, and they have a nice national perception, but beating Auburn or Ohio State would have gone a long way. But I'd even make the argument that, you know, and I know it goes back a ways, but Georgia Tech won one, Colorado won one, and, you know, and those are nice programs, and they were nice programs for a couple years after that, but it didn't change the fortunes of Colorado. It didn't change the fortunes of Georgia Tech. Virginia Tech was good under Frank Beamer with Michael Vick and all those cats. And, you know, they were good for like a 10-year run, but never that's kind of like Oregon. They were good for an extended period of time. They got to the big one once, made a lot of BCS games, but never really entered that conversation with Alabama, Ohio State, LSU.
So your point is, your point of comparison is, you know, the end of Bilotti, Chip Kelly, to the Frank Beamers, to that's what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, you know.
But here's the difference in my opinion is, and I can't even tell you who followed Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech offhand. He's not Mario.
Bronco? No,
right?
He's
no, Broncos in Virginia.
Who is the Virginia? Oh, it's Fuentes.
Fuentes, but I don't know if he directly followed him.
Virginia Tech hasn't been in the discussion since.
No.
In the way that Mario has put Oregon back into the discussion, right?
Yes.
And that's the difference. Yes. You know, neither program won the national championship. They got there, but I think Oregon has done more to change the landscape of college football than Virginia Tech or Colorado or any of those teams, you know, through the mid to late 90s that, you know, have since kind of been passed over. Oregon did more to change the national perception of their own brand than any college any college that I can think of.
No, I can't think of another one.
They
have to win. Yeah. They have to win one. They truly have to win one to be thought of in that Clemson category. But they absolutely have the potential to, based on how, I mean, look, you know, Cal's getting better under Justin Wilcox. They're not great. Stanford's fallen off a bit. Arizona has, you know, completely fallen off a cliff. Arizona State can't get out of their own way. You know, UCLA, you know, one moment they're running Chip Kelly's stuff to perfection. And then, you know, the next 3 weeks, they can't score a point. I mean, it's not like you've got a lineup of Titans sitting in front of Oregon. It's very similar to what Clemson has.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a follow-up. Actually, I have two follow-ups, but we've got to take a break. So I'll get those in when we come back. I want to know who Joey credits most for what Oregon's become. It is Fridays with Joey Harrington here on 1080 The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Good little college football discussion. We were talking last segment. If Oregon can be the new Clemson, they're certainly recruiting at that level for the last couple of years. But as Joey said, you know, they have the opportunity in the Pac-12, but they have to win one. And that would be one of my follow-ups is win a championship, of course. But what about this Ohio State game? Like, is it realistic to expect Oregon now to go on the road to Columbus and win this game?
Yes, they have to. I mean, that is literally the difference between that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's realistic for them to go to Columbus and win, then they're not involved in this discussion. Then they're not going to be the next Clemson.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, those are the games that Clemson wins the Notre Dame games, right? They go to South Bend and they beat Notre Dame. that's the game that sticks out in people's mind as they play the, you know, the mediocre schedule through the ACC. Oregon goes to Ohio State and wins. That is the nugget that they hold on to when they beat Washington State and no one cares. When they beat Oregon State and no one cares. When they beat Cal and no one cares. Oh, but they beat Ohio State in Columbus. That's the nugget that they come back to, which keeps them relevant deep into the conversation of the playoff during the season. And yes, it is realistic to expect that because of what Mario has shown he can do. This is not, you know, we talked about it. This is a program that was potentially falling off a cliff with the transition from, you know, we talked plenty about this, and it scared me to death, is that Helfrich leaves, Willie Taggart comes in, and Willie Taggart goes out, right? And now the program is looking to fall off a cliff. But Mario has come in and provided not only the stability and kind of the, I'll say the renaissance and embracing of the pre-Chip Kelly stuff, you know, truly embracing the program and what got him to that point to begin with. And then he's brought in unbelievable talent. And you combine those two things and you got yourself the potential for a winning formula. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely realistic for them to go to Columbus and win. And I think it would do a heck of a lot for the perception, not only of their program, but of the conference.
Yeah, it sounds like you might have just answered this, but my other follow-up was, it is really amazing to see what Oregon's become. And they were good when, you know, you were going to the Fiesta Bowl, but it's another level now. Who do you credit most for that? Is it Mario? It doesn't have to be one person, but where do you point?
Where do I point for what? Give me something specific, because I think it depends on what exactly the question.
Because I think when you were in the Fiesta, well, maybe before you got to Oregon, let's go at that time frame. If I told you, Oregon, we'd be debating in however 20 some years, we'd be debating if Oregon can be the next Clemson. And by the way, Clemson's won 2 national championships in the last, 5 years.
Yeah.
I think you'd look at me like I had 3 heads, you know?
I would agree.
Do you credit for from that point to now? Who do you credit most for what Oregon has become?
Well, it has to be Chip Kelly. I mean, it really does. It's kind of, and that's why I asked, what is your specific question? Because Bilotti built the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Brooks, right? And Bilotti, yeah, right.
I don't know. I think I.
One built off the
other. I love
Rich
Brooks. I disagree with that, though. I love Rich Brooks, but for how many years in a row did he have a losing record?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he went to a Rose Bowl and then bounced, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was – Oregon football was truly irrelevant during his tenure. And remember the year that they went to the Rose Bowl, they started the season, 1-3?
Yeah, something like that.
That wasn't an 11-0 Rose Bowl team.
No.
That was an 8-3 team, I think. So I would argue very heavily that Bilotti built the foundation for that program. Chip built the structure, right? Chip built the house. He built the flashy, you know, He remodeled the kitchen. He, you know, put a pool table in a wine cellar in the basement. You know, he did that. But he forgot to put a roof on, right, when he bolted. And I think Mario's put that roof on and has made sure that those investments, you know, that foundation, you know, the the granite countertops didn't get destroyed. So I think all three of them have done different things, but equally as important. But if you're going to ask me who put Oregon on the map and is I have to choose one of them, I'm going to say it's Chip, because what he did was so out of the box. What he did was so eye-catching and revolutionary. You know, his style of football truly changed the game. And people associate that with Oregon because of him.
See, mine would be, and I know it's controversial, but it's hard to pick one guy because I believe everyone, you know, stood on each other's shoulders. You know, one, you know, begats the other. He's an old Bible reference. But I go with Phil because I think without him, without his money of building – the facilities, without the Nike Cool, without him putting you on a billboard, without him and Nike behind and doing the uniforms, I think that is was the most unique thing. So to me, when I look at one thing that changed college football, I think it was Oregon. I think every program from Oklahoma State to Virginia Tech, they all tried to use this formula of cool. They tried to take a school that wasn't once a power and make it sexy and cool. And the facilities arm race. I remember when I was being recruited, there wasn't one place I went to that had nice facilities. Washington sucked. USC's were terrible. I mean, you name it. There were garbage facilities, and Oregon was the first program out west to invest in that. And I just think it's Phil Knight, and it can't just be one guy, but I think without him and the swoosh, I don't think the other stuff is possible. And so that's why for me, I go there.
I'd agree with you. I would agree with you. Rob's question wasn't specific enough. I thought he was simply talking about coaches. So it's completely it's Rob's fault. Your fault.
Damn it, Rob.
Yeah, let's blame me. Hey, so I agree with the Phil Knight. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but who? Okay, so the brand of Oregon has just it's just been incredible. Like, yeah, you said,
one of the best in college football.
You just can't find another program that has created such a great identity in college football over the last 20 years like Oregon. Do you know more specifically who is to credit for that? I mean, I know we always credit Phil Knight because, you know, Nike and the whole thing, but like I said, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but are there other names that are people that have created that for Oregon? Because it's just been one of a kind.
I think you have to give a lot of credit to Tinker Hatfield.
That's where I was going to say.
Yeah, Tinker has been very influential. And you know, there's a group of guys that I'm of course drawing a blank on now, but they would sit and they'd come down and have round table discussions with the players. And they really relied on, you know, on the players' input, to shape what would become the Oregon brand. And Tinker's just that kind of out of the box, free thinking kind of guy that, I mean, he's designed some of the most iconic footwear, designed, you know, some, let's just call it some of the most iconic brands in this world. Mm-hmm. You know, with his influence with Jordan, and, you know, I got to give him a lot of credit for the brand influence of Oregon and creating what they've become.
Yeah. I thought growing up, I thought it was dumb. I was that old curmudgeon guy when I was 19, and I didn't like any of the Oregon stuff. And,
as you were jealous.
Yeah, there may be an element of that, right? I mean, I just thought...
Well, some of it was ugly at first.
Well, and I remember, like, my stuff at BYU, I hated, like, when, because they came in and changed everything, and I remember it pissed me off, and the Oregon State sports bras, and I was like, what are they doing? Like, why? They're wrecking. I thought the old Oregon stuff was awesome. The interlocking O and U, and then I loved that. And so, like, I was bitter against it. I thought what they were doing was dumb. And it's funny, you look back and the cultural shift, I didn't realize what was happening at the time, but someone should do a 30 for 30 on that, because I couldn't have been more wrong. It may have been uncomfortable while it was changing. I didn't realize the brand that they were building, and not just at Oregon, across college football. They did this at, you know, 20 other programs. It's just, this was the marquee one and they were at the forefront of it. And I mean, Oregon there, and it was... And you were at the start of it, but I really do think that what they did at Oregon when you were there for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, I think that changed college football as much as anything in my lifetime.
I agree. How'd we get onto this discussion?
I don't even know.
Clemson. Why were we talking about Clemson?
Could Oregon be the next Clemson? But if you look,
we're talking about the Pac-12 commissioner.
Yeah,
that's what we were talking
about. Oh, the commissioner. Yeah, that's right. Who? What's his name? Who is that guy?
George something.
Oh, he's awesome though, right? Because he's from Vegas.
We love him.
Yeah, we love George.
Great hire.
GK.
So it sounds like to me the smartest thing they did, and I say they, I would assume it's the Nike people, was they just went down and listened to the players, right? Like I think before what Suk's talking about is they used to be just a bunch of. I mean, they would consult players. They didn't care what the players thought. It's like, here's your uniform. This is what you're wearing.
Yeah.
But Oregon at Nike,
went down into the locker room and said, hey, what do you guys want? Yeah. What do you got? What's cool?
And they listened to
and
kids.
And they listened.
And the kids were kind of out there on a limb, but smart. They went with it.
Yeah.
And while some people, me, were like, what the hell are they doing? What they were doing was listening to 19 and 20-year-olds that were driving a cultural shift. And now from UW to Clemson to Iowa State to BYU to Washington State, everyone now has to have 4 or 5 uniforms. Everyone. Everyone has to have updated helmets. Everyone has to have the shiny face mask. Everyone has to build, when they build a football facility, it's no longer just about building a nice facility. It has to have bells and whistles. And I don't know how anyone, and I you know, there's probably an Oregon State fan that's pissed, like, oh, you guys are sucking up to Oregon. You can't deny where that all started. To me, you just can't if you're being objective.
Smart little play.
Sook. Have you ever told anybody to get off my lawn?
I probably did. When I was at BYU for 2 years and we went to the new Nike uniforms, I probably yelled, get off my lawn. They gave us bibs. And I don't know if I've ever been more upset.
Those were really bad, though.
Because I loved our unis. I loved, they were a classic look. And when they unveiled the new stuff, I was pissed. I was yelling, get off my lawn, for like 3 years.
Well, remind me not to bring my kids anywhere near your house.
It's gotten,
oh, you kids, get off my lawn.
It's gotten much better. I can appreciate, looking back, I can appreciate it. And I think what they've landed on now, I think 95% of the time they get it right, and it looks really good.
All right. I think we're out of time. Good little discussion.
Good. I'm tired of talking to the grump over here.
Talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Joey Harrington each Friday at 5:30 here on The Fan. Brought to you by BMW Portland, where relationships matter. Visit BMW Portland on Southwest Jefferson downtown or BMWPortland.com. The club is next on The Fan.